Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Residents living in urban spaces are more vulnerable to the impacts of climate change than others, but work is underway to offset that trend. The Institute for Sustainable Communities, or ISC, partners with organizations around the world to fight the impact of climate change in urban communities. One of their partners is the Walnut Way Conservation Corporation. Over the last two decades, the group has gradually transformed lifeless parcels in the Lindsay Heights neighborhood into green space. Sarita Turner is Vice President of the U.S. Programs at the Institute for Sustainable Communities. WUWM's Susan Bentz spoke with her about the work groups like Walnut Way are doing. Turner begins by sharing more about ISC's far-reaching work.
We do that work in Asia, in China and India primarily. And then we also have an entire U.S. program that I lead that works directly with communities in historic communities of color that have experienced discrimination and land use practices, et cetera, and those kinds of historic legacy issues are now playing themselves out at a systemic level. And we also have programs that work with mostly governments, but a mix of government and communities to form regional climate collaborations to really look at what are the kinds of policy approaches that can happen at a regional collaboration level to help minimize their greenhouse gas emissions and also support communities in becoming more resilient.
So the ISC's work started in developing countries, and then the U.S. program initiatives came on board later when there was an acknowledgement that there's lots to be done here in this country.
Yes, you are absolutely right. And also along that line is that our work, working directly with Black and Brown communities in urban areas of the country, is even newer than our work in the U.S. So the work did start in developing countries, and then we started working with governments on the regional collaboration piece, and within the last 4 to 5 years, the organization recognized that though the communities, urban communities and rural communities too, but we focus on urban communities that are suffering legacy and historic racial discrimination in land use planning and in investment decisions, are the people who live in them are those that are most vulnerable to climate change. And so recognizing that, the organization really wanted to say we need to put our bucket down here as well and start to really support these communities in becoming more resilient to the impacts of climate.
Would you describe some of the ways in which the ISC has been collaborating here in Milwaukee with the Walnut Way neighborhood?
You know, as I was talking about, like, working with organizations like Walnut Way that are serving communities like the communities that Walnut Way serves, our definition of resilience building strategies is really broad, because what we understand is the very things that make communities vulnerable to the impacts of a flood or a earthquake or extreme heat are the same things that make a community vulnerable, more vulnerable to the impacts of a pandemic. And so Walnut Way has a wide variety of ways that they're serving their communities to make them more resilient. But the Partnership for Resilient Communities, which is the ISC program that works directly with Walnut Way, is really to think about how do we build resilience in our communities using three primary approaches: community education and engagement, really making sure that communities understand what climate change is, that it's not, you know, like this vision that people have been given, this image of a polar bear and ice glaciers, but climate change is impacting you right now in your local community and helping them tie those issues and climate change together. And then engaging communities into solving the problems of climate change. So that's one aspect, community engagement and education. And then two is really building the influence of organizations like Walnut Way to influence policies and practices at the jurisdictional level, but even at the statewide level sometimes, because there are policy changes at the statewide level that need to occur to impact the ability to do local work. So really helping to build the influence and capacity of Walnut Way to be able to be a player in that space in a higher capacity way, in a more meaningful way than they may have been able to do without the support that they're receiving. And then the third way is by providing resources for Walnut Way to do small-scale infrastructure projects in the community that really do help the community's environment be more resilient to the impacts of climate change. So Walnut Way has the Blue Skies team that they are training. These are people that come from communities that Walnut Way is serving or communities like the community that Walnut Way is serving, and they're training folks in green infrastructure installment and providing them meaningful and good-paying jobs in that area, as well as then using those same trainees to actually do projects in the community that are for broad community benefit.
So when you partner with groups like Walnut Way, these are organizations that are already well established?
Oh, absolutely. So the PRC partners, Walnut Way being one of them, you know, they're organizations who are already established in their community and have a history of working with their community. So we're not establishing them or, like, helping them develop relationships. They already have those relationships developed with their community members, and they're seen as an authentic community-serving organization. The thing that we're specifically helping them with is to build their capacity around helping their communities engage around climate. And so sustainability is an aspect of climate. Green is an aspect of climate. Environmental justice is an aspect of what exacerbates climate change. But helping Black and brown communities actually connect with what climate change is and how it really is impacting their everyday lives is something that the traditional mainstream climate movement totally overlooked. And those same traditional mainstream climate organizations, and IFC used to be one of them, right, is making this huge pivot, have not engaged the leadership of communities of color. They haven't engaged leadership in their own organizations that is diverse. And so we're really saying that the people that are most vulnerable to the impacts of climate change have to lead the climate movement. Otherwise, it's not going to be effective.
How do you achieve that engagement? Maybe, again, using Walnut Way as an example.
Examples of that are when they make their infrastructure improvements that they're making. And the Blue Skies team didn't come along because ISC, it came along because of the innovation and ingenuity of Walnut Way, right? That was already in place. But what is the relationship between the environmental improvements that is that are happening because of the Blue Skies team's work, and what of that is an educational opportunity to tie community education and leadership development to the climate space?
Have you spent a bit of time in Milwaukee as you've worked with Walnut Way?
Unfortunately, I have not. I have been and visited, not been to Milwaukee once, but I've been to visit Walnut Way one time, but that's not right. So before I started, there was the design team visit, and then I think our relationship with Walnut Way is not even 2 years old yet, right? So there was the design team, and then there was the time that we came for Walnut Way's ribbon-cutting ceremony on their projects that they completed over the year, the one-year mark, that were a part of their PRC partnership activities. And so now we are moving into the next phase Walnut Way, along with the other PRC partners, as of last October, have been in a six-month planning process, and that work will officially kick off May 1st. Now, we do try to ensure that we prioritize resources for the work to actually happen for communities. So we're really careful about how many resources we spend traveling to communities, because we want the community to actually benefit. But it is critical that we come and meet people face-to-face and see the work face-to-face, because we're better able to explain it to national funders and others that we want to get involved in supporting this work and growing it if we actually can touch and feel it as well.
What are the goals for the next phase of the partnership?
That is something that Walnut Way is putting forward. The partners set their own goals, and we work with them to help them realize those goals.
How would you describe what's special, what's cool about Walnut Way?
They're brilliant. They're amazing. They're super committed to the work, to their communities. I was so impressed on my tour there by all the things that I saw, like up close and personal, growing fruit to installing rain gardens and swales and real infrastructure improvements for churches. It's just amazing work. The human capital, the human development that they're doing with the Blue Skies team, even more important. So, yeah.
What's the role groups like Walnut Way play in neighborhoods and communities in their ability to cope with climate impacts?
Yeah, they're like critical. Like, who else is doing that? Who else is working with those communities to ensure that they're resilient to the impacts of climate and educating people about it and helping them translate some of the challenges that they're dealing with to the impacts of climate, because they are, right? Like, African American people die at a much more disproportionately higher rate due to heat-related deaths than any other racial group. Like, who else is giving them this information and helping tie it to climate, and it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and helping them think through the solutions, or helping think about, you know, what are the ways that we need to start to plan in order to reverse that disparity trend and really help people understand that these conversations about climate are conversations that are for them, right? They're not conversations just for the other people or for people who have money or for people who don't have a whole lot to worry about, so they have time to be off on these niche topics and campaigns, that this is critical and it's a lifeline. And so nobody else is doing that work. So if it weren't for the Walnut Ways of the United States of America, how else would these communities be getting that information?
The Walnut Ways of the world cannot single-handedly protect its communities and those around it. What else is needed?
First and foremost, until there is a strong recognition that people know what they need more than anyone else, and we need to listen to them and then provide the resources and the technical approaches to doing what's needed. So that's the culture of this country, is that things are done to communities, for communities, but without really understanding intimately what's needed. And so we have these chronic issues and challenges because the solutions that are supposed to be for communities are not the right fit for them, or they're implemented in a way that doesn't connect with the community and make sense. So what is needed more is for the folks who have access to resources and who are really working on these issues to recognize that the communities themselves are experts in helping to solve their challenges. But you can't really bring your expertise to bear in a meaningful way if you haven't at first even connected with the issue in a way that makes you think you should show up at the table, or why you should show up at the table. So I think, a lot of information and a lot of concepts and ways of operating and being and understanding that are good solutions or that are topics that need to be examined are not, right? Like communities of color are overlooked. And people perish for lack of knowledge, right? We know that that's true. Like if people don't understand an issue and how come it's important, they can't fight for resources for their communities. They can't say what those resources should be. So it's not just about educating people and then we go away, right? It's about really building the power and influence of a community to be able to shape its own destiny and to demand that its needs are met. And to know which tables to demand it at and how to position their request and at what timing. So all of that is baked into what I'm saying in terms of education and information. It's not just to have it and then say, wow, I'm smarter today because now I have this information. It is now like, wow, now I have the tools that I can use, the information that I can use in order to make change happen or demand that change happens. And so that information includes data. That information includes historical facts about their community. That information includes demographic information and information about disparities. So it's, you know, I didn't want to simplify it, make it seem like it's just a simple thing. Oh, just engage and educate communities and that's what's needed. There's a whole lot that can happen when people have information and resources, and when they don't, there's a whole lot that can happen.
Sarita Turner is Vice President of U.S. Programs at the Institute for Sustainable Communities. She spoke with WUWM's Susan Benz from her home office in San Francisco. You can learn more about ISC's partnership with Walnut Way at WUWM.com.